الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Honorable brothers in Islam, there are many virtues in relation to sending salat upon the best of creation, our Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, which is found in the hadith book Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir of Imam Tabarani rahimahullahu ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is reported to have said, "Man salla alayya sallallahu alayhi ashran." Whoever sends salat upon me once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salutations or mercy upon him 10 times. 10 mercies. And the hadith does not end there. Look at the excellence of the reciting Durood Sharif. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Biha malakun muwakkalun biha hatta yuballighaniha." That there is an angel appointed for that Durood Sharif. And what that angel does is he conveys that salat to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So who doesn't want the angels of Allah to convey their salat to the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? A believer must be proactive in this regard. We can't be lazy, we can't be neglectful, because time passes. Whether we want it to pass or not, it will pass. How many of us? Just yesterday, it seems like, we were young, full of aspirations, thinking that we have all the time in the world. And now we have white hairs in our head, white hairs in our beard. The back has become crooked. The bones are starting to ache. So time will pass whether we like it or not. The important thing is that we make use of that time. That we send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We remember him as much as we can. May Allah Ta'ala grant you, me, and all Muslims tawfiq to remember the Prophet alayhi salam and send abundant salawat and salam upon him. Amin. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know on the 10th of Muharram al-Haram, the day of Ashura, so many significant events took place throughout history. Sayyiduna Nuh alayhi salam was saved. Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salam gained salvation with his people from Fir'aun. Many, many other things took place. But for this ummah, the most significant event that took place on the 10th of Muharram al-Haram was indeed the waqi'ah, the account of Karbala. We know Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala refused to give bay'ah to Yazid. And he set off to Iraq, Kufa, with what intention? With the intention of dialogue. With the intention to discuss. Otherwise, ask yourself a question. If somebody is going with the intention of war, with the intention of battle, does he take the women folk with him? Does he take his 6-month-old child with him to the battlefield? Think about it. So those people who have ma'adhallah try to portray this incident as Imam Hussein radiallahu an desiring to seek power, they couldn't be further from the truth. If somebody has been given the glad tiding of being the leader of the youth of paradise, what does he need from this world? Imam Hussein radiallahu an is that blessed personality regarding whom his honorable grandfather sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Al-Hassan wal-Husayn huma sayyida shababi ahlil jannah. That Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein both are leaders of the youth of paradise. So what did he need from this world? What could this world give him? Nothing. In comparison to what he has already gained, the maqam he has in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is very incorrect to say that Imam Hussein wanted power, was desirous of power. And such people show their enmity towards the Ahlul Bayt alayhim ridwan. That bughd, that hatred, that malice they have in their heart, they express this. By saying that Imam Hussein radiallahu an, if he did not go, none of this would have happened. Why did he go? Why did he do this? Ma'azala. As if to say that they are more knowledgeable than the great Imam Hussein radiallahu an. They have more wisdom than Imam Hussein radiallahu an. Anyhow, let us begin by hearing about some fadail of this great Imam of the Ummah. We know that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an, he was the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the honorable son of Sayyidatuna Fatima and Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. His name was Hussein, of course. His kunya was Abu Abdullah. And from his titles is Sibtu Rasulillah, meaning the grandson of the Prophet alayhi salam, Rayhanatul Rasul, the flower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. Look at the close connection. The Prophet alayhi salam said regarding Imam Hussein that he is from me and I am from Hussein. Imagine today if an ummati was given such a glad tiding. But this was exclusive to Sayyiduna Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu. That qurba, that qaraba, that closeness that he had. And not only that, the Prophet alayhi salam said, أحب الله من أحب حسين. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the one who loves Hussein. So if you want the love of Allah, if you want to be guaranteed the love of Allah, what do? You love Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. Why? Because the Prophet alayhi salam said, whoever loves Imam Hussein, Allah ta'ala loves him. One day, in one hadith rather, the Prophet alayhi salam said, whoever had love for Hassan and Hussein, he had love for me. And whoever had enmity towards them, whoever was an enemy of theirs, he has become an enemy of mine as well. He has enmity towards me. And in Bukhari Sharif, I mentioned this hadith a few moments ago, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Huma rayhanataya min ad-dunya. That these two, meaning Hassan and Hussein, are my flowers in the dunya. Subhanallah. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was born on 5th Sha'banul Mu'adham, the 4th year after Hijrah, in Madinatul Munawwara. And at the age of 55 years, 5 months and 5 days, he departed from this world. He attained the highest rank. He was a martyr in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidul Shuhada. And what was the Islamic date? 10th Muharramul Haram, 61 Hijri. And we know the manner in which he left the world. How he and his family were oppressed beyond our comprehension. Whenever we hear about the waqiyah of Karbala, it stirs our emotions. That how can such evil people do such a thing? How could they have stooped to such low levels? Cut off the water supply to the blessed Ahlul Bayt. Martyred them one by one. Had animals trample over their bodies. Who can do this? So, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala was consistent, steadfast. He was patient upon the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, content with the will of Allah azza wa jal. Now, I want to turn our attention to why Imam Hussein did not give bay'ah to Yazid. This is something that some people find hard to understand. They say Yazid was the ruler of the time. And why did Imam Hussein decline? Why did he refuse to give bay'ah to him? None of this would have happened. Ma'adullah, as if to think that they have a solution to all of life's problems. Listen carefully. Yazid was the son of Sayyiduna Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Sayyiduna Amir Muawiyah, he was from those blessed companions who were responsible for writing down revelation. When the Quran would be revealed, The Prophet ﷺ had some scribes, and they would write down the wahi. They were known as katibine wahi, katibul wahi. So Amir Muawiyah was one of them. Now ask yourself, if somebody had that honor of writing the Quran down whilst it was being revealed, is it right to say evil things about such a personality? Of course not. The Prophet ﷺ prayed for Amir Muawiyah on numerous occasions. Amir Muawiyah's sister was married to the Prophet ﷺ. She was from the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhunna. So Amir Muawiyah, he has nothing to do with his son's actions. And Islam does not burden one like that. If you've performed good upbringing of your children, you've done your utmost, you've tried your best, and then later on, Allah Azza wa Jal forbid, the child does not turn out right, or the child goes off the straight path, becomes misguided, it's not upon your shoulders, because you've tried. Yes, this is a different matter that if you have, instead of providing a good upbringing, you have aided in his character becoming the way it is, ill character, wrongdoings, you've contributed to that, that's a different matter. But we're talking about, if you as a parent have tried your utmost, you've provided them an Islamic education, you've taught them to distinguish between right and wrong, you refrain from evils yourself, you tell them to stay away from bad company, etc. Then, again I say, Allah forbid, if the child turns out wrong, it's not upon your head. You've done your bit. Here, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, this great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did his utmost. He taught his child. He taught his children. Now Yazid went on to become such a cruel, oppressive ruler. There's no blame upon his father, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, whatsoever. This is something that should be clear in our minds. Because if we begin to say evil things about a Sahabi, we should be fearful regarding our own iman. All the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are inhabitants of paradise. They will go to paradise. Allah Ta'ala said regarding them, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah as their Lord. This is the Qurani fasla, the judgment of the Quran. Who can come later on and say, no, but this companion, it doesn't apply to him, and this one, and pick and choose, it doesn't work like that. The Quran tells us, la yasma'una hasisaha. The companions will not even hear the crackling of the hellfire. They'll be kept far away from the fire of hell. So this is an established matter amongst the Ahlus Sunnati wal Jama'ah. The Amir Muawiyah is not to blame in any sense of the word for what Yazid went on to do. Now the question, why did Imam Hussein not give bay'ah to Yazid? Yazid became someone who was a slave of his own carnal desires. Every bad desire that entered his heart, he wanted to act upon it. To the extent that he was an alcoholic, he was a fornicator, he committed adultery, he would oppress people. So, inshallah, we'll hear the list of things that he did. And then after that, there should be no confusion in your mind as to why Imam Hussein did not give bay'ah. How can you give bay'ah to someone who's like this? Think about it for a moment. You know somebody is oppressive. You know somebody is a tyrant. You know somebody is an alcoholic. You know somebody who's a fornicator, an adulterer. You know somebody who has every evil trait inside him. And then you give bay'ah to him, you place your hand in his hand. What does that mean? If you have a rank in society, people are going to think, that's fine then. Imam Hussein gave bay'ah, that's fine then. Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu knew this. That if I don't speak up against falsehood today, then people will become misguided. It's time for me to stand for the truth against batil, against falsehood. And this is what he did. He said to Yazid, people came, ambassadors for Yazid, representatives of Yazid. They said, we'll give you everything. They tried to bribe him. How foolish, little did they know that this is Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. This is the leader of the youth of paradise. Do you think he'll be bribed over some worldly possessions and money? No. Imam Hussein was not like us. He is the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is the best of all creation, the leader of the messengers. How can you bribe him with a few worldly pounds? Not possible. And Imam Hussein said, no. He said, no. They said, let's go to a private room. Don't even say it in public. Just say it privately that you agree to give bay'ah. He said, no. How is this possible? Do what you like. I'm never going to give bay'ah to Yazid. So let's listen to the negative traits of Yazid because of which Imam Hussein radiallahu anh did not give bay'ah to him. In one hadith, and this is in Tariq Damishq of Imam Ibn Asakir radiallahu anh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prophesied. This is what a prophet does. He said, أَوَّلُ مَنْ يُبَدِّلُ سُنَّتِي رَجُلٌ مِّن بَنِي أُمَيَّةِ يُقَالُ لَهُ يَزِيدٌ. You can't get more clear than this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the first person to change my sunnah, the first person to change my sunnah will be a man from Banu Umayyah, the tribe Banu Umayyah. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't stop there. He even mentioned the name. He said, يُقَالُ لَهُ يَزِيد. His name will be Yazid. The Prophet ﷺ knew this would happen. In fact, we have many narrations about when Imam Hussein radiallahu anh was born, how the Prophet ﷺ told his family members that this grandson of mine will be martyred. He knew about these things. Remember, a Nabi, the definition of a Nabi is someone who has knowledge of the unseen. Allah Ta'ala grants that knowledge of the unseen. The Quran tells us, Surah Jin, إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ, that Allah does not reveal His ghaib to anyone except who He chooses from the messengers. And our Prophet ﷺ, he is one of those messengers who had immense knowledge of the unseen. And here he's saying, he's telling his people that there will come a time when a person called Yazid, he will be the first to change my sunnah. And this is what happened. Yazid changed the sunnah. What does it mean by change the sunnah? We'll go against the sunnah. We'll abandon the sunnah. We'll come with a different way which is far from the sunnah. And this is what Yazid did. Before we move on, let's try and gain an understanding of why the sunnah is so important in our life. Why we need to cling on to the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي فَقَدْ أَحَبَّنِي وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. This is a hadith found in Tariq Dimishq also. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever loved my sunnah, he loved me. Meaning we want to gain that love of the Prophet ﷺ. How do we do that? We follow his sunnah. We love his sunnah. That means we love the Prophet ﷺ. And what's the reward for the one who loves the sunnah and the Prophet ﷺ? وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِيَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And whoever has this love for me in his heart, he follows my sunnah, he will be with me in Jannah. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Yazid was going against the sunnah. Yazid wanted to, ma'adhala, do away with the sunnah. That's why Imam Hussein could not tolerate. That's why Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu said, I can never give bay'ah to someone like an open fasiq, an open transgressor. He didn't have a care in the world, daringly, openly, audaciously committing sins, and he wanted people to give bay'ah to him. He knew that if he had the bay'ah of Imam Hussein, there's nothing that could stop him. He'd become formidable. But he also knew that if Imam Hussein didn't give bay'ah to him, that could cause a lot of problems for his rulership. And that's why he wanted to, ma'adhullah, take Imam Hussein out of the picture. Also, it's mentioned regarding him. Why did Imam Hussein not give bay'ah to Yazid? Because he was a fasiq, I've just explained. Fasiq is someone who transgresses, who does wrong, who sins. There's two types of fasiq. Fasiq mu'lin, fasiq ghayr mu'lin. Meaning we all sin. Allah Ta'ala forgive our sins. But we all sin. Some people sin privately, some people sin publicly. Now a private sin is bad. But what's more severe than a private sin is a public sin. Because when someone does something privately and he doesn't reveal his sins, later on he becomes regretful, remorseful over his actions. He asks Allah to forgive him. Allah will forgive him. But then there's one person who doesn't have a care in the world. His mindset is, it doesn't matter who I sin before, where I sin, what reputation my parents have, what standing they have in society, I don't care. I'm going to sin nevertheless. That type of person is a worse fasiq than the one who sins publicly. Even though both are bad. Both are sinning and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when the sin is open and apparent and before the public, it's more severe because people will be misguided by that person. Especially if he's in a position of leadership like Yazid was. And that's why Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu had to put an end to this. And again, he wanted to discuss, dialogue, speak to them and say, look, change your ways. And during this journey towards Karbala, many occasions Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu gave khutbat, sermons, and he said to the people, the army of Yazid, that look, rectify your ways, you still have time. What are you doing merely for this dunya? Out of hubbud dunya, love of the world. Yazid was somebody who was overpowered by hubbud dunya. Shahawat, unlawful desires, and he was acting upon them one by one. And he felt that Imam Hussein is the only person in his way, a person of influence. So Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu also knew this as well. Let's hear a bit more about why Yazid was not given bay'ah to. It says Yazid was a fasiq, an alcoholic, an oppressor. And instead of worshipping Rahman, he would obey Shaitan. He would spread discord, fitna, tribulation amongst the ummah. He would cross the boundaries set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The things that Allah has declared as haram, he would say they're halal. Ma'adallah. And in books of aqaid, the scholars have written, wal istihlalu kufrun. That if something is haram, and you seek to make it halal based on your desires, this is kufr, this is disbelief. For example, Allah Ta'ala has declared drinking alcohol as prohibited, committing zina as prohibited. Somebody seeks ways to make them permitted. This is what the scholars say. If you're trying to make the unlawful permitted, that's disbelief. You can't do that. Yazid was doing that. Things that were halal, he was saying they're haram. All sorts were going on. And Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and knew this as well. And what happens? For such people, Allah Ta'ala has said in the Akhirah, there is no share of reward. In fact, there is adab for them. What does the Quran say? In Surah Nisa, verse 115. It says here, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. Allah Ta'ala says in this verse of the Quran that whoever opposes the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after guidance has been made clear to him and he follows a path other than the path of the Muslims, the mu'mins, Allah Ta'ala says, نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. We will make him wander here and there. We will make him go in the direction that he wants to. And then we will make him enter hellfire. And how an evil place it is. Meaning how evil is hellfire as a place, as an abode. So Yazid was somebody who would go against the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even today as well. How can we reflect? What do we gain from this waqiyah of Karbala? What lessons do we gain? That in our communities, in our societies, again, we have good and bad people. We have people who call towards righteousness, amrun bil ma'roof, and they prohibit evil, wa nahyun anil munkar. I remember this is something that is a khasa of this ummah. It's a special quality of this ummah, a distinct quality. Because when you want to compare this ummah to other ummahs, and you want to find out the reason why this is the best ummah, the reason why this ummah, al-ummatul muhammadiyya, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, has been declared as the best ummah amongst all umam, is because we command the good. We tell people to do good. And we forbid evil. We see wrong, we tell people, don't do that. And we believe in Allah. Now ask yourself, in our communities, in our streets, in our roads, there's good people, bad people. Unfortunately, in this day and age, it seems like the bad has overpowered the good. But does that mean that we can't influence things? Does that mean that we cannot give a good word, an invitation towards good to people? No, it doesn't mean that. So how much are we doing? What effort are we making in trying to rectify people? This is what Imam Hussein did. That even in the plains of Karbala, his family members are being martyred one by one. Imagine that scene. Yet he is still calling the Yazidis, the army of Yazid, towards goodness, towards khair, and saying, leave your ways, stop it. This is going to land you in deep trouble. And it did. Because if you study history, if you study what the ulama have written in regards to the outcome of all those people who took part in the murder, the martyrdom of Imam Hussein radiallahu anh, you will read that each and every one of them had a miserable, disgraceful death. They were tortured to death. Why? Because they participated in this heinous crime in, ma'azallah, taking the life of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala. So, briefly, we touched upon the incident of Karbala, what lessons we can learn, and why Imam Hussein radiallahu anh was 100% right to not give bay'ah to Yazid. Because he knew the bad outcome of that. If he gave bay'ah to Yazid, that would have endorsed bad. That would have been a support for evil. But he knew that responsibility he had as the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Remember, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein are from that household, that when they were young children growing up, and the Prophet alayhi salam saw them do something which was incorrect, even though a child is not taken to account. But the tarbiyah of the Prophet alayhi salam is what I'm trying to highlight. When one of them ate a date, kujur, which is not for the sadat. Remember, the sayyids, the family of the Prophet alayhi salam, cannot take zakat or sadaqat wajiba. You can support them with your money generously by donating or by giving them a gift, but you can't give zakat or sadaqat wajiba. And whenever such things would come into the household of the Prophet alayhi salam, and on one occasion, one of the grandsons of the Prophet alayhi salam ate it, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam made him take it out of his mouth and explain to him that this is not jais for us. So ask yourself, in a household where halal and haram is explained in so much detail right from the beginning, this is allowed, this is not allowed, the Prophet alayhi salam is teaching them, the muallim for all mankind, the teacher of all mankind, then will that child not grow up to become an epitome of taqwa? Of course he would. When he sees wrong, how can he say it's right? When he sees somebody transgressing the laws of Islam, how can he support that person? That's not possible. So Imam Hussein radiallahu anhu showed us, and this is the dars of Karbala in every age, if people are doing wrong, we are never to support them. And if possible, if we're in a position of influence, we influence things. We speak out against that. And one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you see something wrong, try and change it with your hand. If you can't change it with your hand, then your mouth. Speak out against it. And if you can't do that even, at least think of it as bad in the heart. And if we're not thinking of evil as bad in the heart, then Allah Ta'ala truly help us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand what has been said today in the bayan, to always support the truth, to be advocates of the truth, and to uphold the teachings of Islam wherever we are. Ameen. بجاه النبي الأمين صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. We are calling upon you, Allah.